right, let's dive into this case, People v. Ballard. It's a wild one, like a legal thriller almost. Revenge porn, extortion, and the whole question of, can you hide behind the Communications Decency Act? It's the Wild West out there on the internet. Picture this. Guys running two websites, one hosting explicit photos that people never okayed being online, and the other one, he charges those same victims to take the photos down.
Yeah.
We've got a whole pile of legal documents and analysis on this one, and I'm really glad you're here to help unpack it all.
Absolutely. It's a landmark case, no doubt. People v. Ballard really pushed the courts to figure out how the law works in our digital world, and it set some big precedents for how we think about online platforms even now.
For sure. Okay, before we get into the legal nitty-gritty, can you paint the picture for us? What were these websites, and how did this scheme even work?
So, the first site you got posted was pretty simple. Well, at least in how bad it was. It was just a platform for posting explicit pictures shared without consent. Your classic revenge porn. But the second site changed my reputation. Now that's where things get really legally messy. It was basically a removal service. Pay Ballard a fee, and he'd take down the photos from you got posted.
So he's profiting twice. Once from the ads on the site with the photos, and then again from the victims who just want them gone. Sounds like a digital protection racket.
You could say that. That's exactly how the court saw it. And the money was a huge part of why he got into so much trouble. Ballard was making around $900 a month just from ads on You Got Posted, and he pulled in something like $30,000 total from those removal fees. This wasn't some small-time thing. It was a whole business built on exploiting people's privacy.
Wow. I mean, he thought he could just get away with it by saying he was a neutral platform, hiding behind that CDA shield.
Yeah, he tried using Section 230 of the CDA, arguing that he was protected because he was just hosting content that users put up.
But a lot of people know about Section 230. It's what protects sites like YouTube or Twitter from being sued for what their users post, right? So what made this case different? Why didn't he get that same protection?
Because he wasn't just passively hosting stuff. The way his websites were designed, You Got Posted specifically, actually encouraged and even required people to post illegal content. To even upload a photo, users had to give personal information about the victim, full name, age, location, even links to their social media. He was basically putting together a victim profile.
Hold on. That's way more than just creating a space for posting. He's actively asking for this information, information that he then uses to... Well, I guess the word is extort.
Exactly. And that's where this material contribution test comes in. The court used a precedent from the roommates.com case. It basically says that if you design your website in a way that requires or really pushes for illegal content, you don't get that CDA protection. Ballard didn't just host, he built a system for invading privacy.
So that we're just a platform argument went up in smoke.
Completely. The court saw right through it. They didn't believe he was just some innocent bystander offering a place to share photos. He was a major part of the whole scheme.
This is where it gets really interesting, the extortion charges. How did asking for money to remove photos become illegal extortion? It's not like he was sending thugs after people.
True. It wasn't your typical strong-arm tactics. But the court found an implicit threat built into the way his websites worked. It was like a digital shakedown. Pay up, or your most private photos stay online for everyone to see.
But some people might say, hey, if the photos are already out there, isn't that information public already? Isn't he just offering a service?
That's what Ballard argued, but the court completely disagreed. They made it clear that the victims never agreed to these pictures being posted in the first place. So no, it wasn't truly public information.
That's a really important distinction. So even though some folks might have seen those photos online, legally, those photos were never supposed to be public.
Right. It's like the court was saying, you can't make money from cleaning up a mess that you helped create. This wasn't a legitimate service. It was extortion hidden behind the internet.
So no CDA immunity. The extortion charges are sticking. What else was he charged with?
On top of everything else, he was facing 21 counts of illegally using personal information. Remember how he required all that personal data just to post the photos?
Yeah, it seemed almost obsessive, like he was collecting it for some bad reason beyond just verifying people's identities.
Well, the court thought so too. In California, Penal Code 530.5 says it's a crime to use someone's personal info for illegal reasons. And here, the court saw that requirement as way more than just wanting to make sure people were using real names. He was collecting sensitive data specifically to invade privacy and extort money.
Wow, so it's like every time someone clicked upload, they were building the case against him. Talk about shooting yourself in the foot.
It really shows how seemingly small decisions, like how you design your website, can have huge legal consequences in our digital world.
Okay, so we've heard all the charges and how the court didn't buy Bullard's attempts to get off the hook. What happened next? Did the jury believe him? Or was he in for some serious trouble?
Well, let's just say the court didn't go easy on him. Get ready, because we're about to get into the verdict and why this case sent shockwaves through the internet.
This is where it gets real, folks. We're going to break down the outcome of this crazy legal ride.
The jury wasn't convinced by his just a platform defense at all. They found Bullard guilty on 6 counts of extortion and 21 counts of using personal information illegally.
Wow. Guilty on all counts. That's a pretty clear message. What kind of sentence did he get for all of this?
18 years. 8 years in local confinement, and then 10 years of mandatory supervision after that.
18 years. That's not a slap on the wrist. It seems like the court was making a statement with that sentence.
Absolutely. They made it crystal clear that messing with people's privacy for profit is not a joke. It's a serious crime with serious consequences. And that 18-year sentence, yeah, that got everyone's attention online.
No kidding. So we've covered all the legal details of the case, but let's zoom out a bit. Why does this even matter to people who aren't lawyers or tech experts? Why should the average person care about People v. Bullard?
This case sets some really important precedents that affect everyone who uses the internet. For one thing, it showed that CDA immunity isn't some magic shield for websites.
Right, because for a long time, it seemed like these platforms could just ignore any responsibility for what their users were doing.
Exactly. But People v. Bullard made it clear that if a website helps create illegal content, like Bullard did, by requiring all that personal information, they will be held responsible.
That's a big step for internet safety, wouldn't you say? It means these platforms can't just look the other way when bad stuff is happening on their sites.
It changes everything. Websites have a responsibility to watch what's being posted and stop illegal things from happening. And if they don't, they could face real consequences.
So you're saying this case was like a warning to all those website owners. Clean up your act or you could be next.
Exactly. But it goes beyond just CDA immunity. People v. Bullard also change how we understand extortion in the digital age.
Because it wasn't the typical give me your money or else kind of extortion.
Yeah.
It was more subtle, more sneaky.
Yeah, this case showed that the threat doesn't have to be in your face. It can be built into the design of the website itself, like what Bullard did with his removal service. This means we have to think differently about how harassment and exploitation can happen online.
It's almost like a trapdoor online. You think you're on a normal site, and then suddenly you're being forced to pay up or face the consequences?
That's a scary thought. This case made us face the dark side of the internet and the new ways that people can be taken advantage of.
Okay, so CDA immunity isn't a free pass, and extortion can be harder to spot than we thought. What's the third big takeaway from this case?
The third thing is about personal information. People v. Bullard showed that misusing someone's personal info for illegal purposes isn't just a privacy violation, it's a serious crime with really bad potential consequences.
He didn't just ask for that information. He required it. It wasn't a choice. It's like he was holding those photos hostage in exchange for people's personal data.
And the court saw how dangerous that was. They saw how easily this kind of information could be used for identity theft, harassment, even stalking.
So it's a warning for both website owners and users. Platforms need to be careful about what information they collect and how they use it. And we as users need to be more careful about what we share online.
Definitely. This case was a wake-up call for everyone. It showed how easily our personal information can be used against us in the digital age.
So, People v. Bullard had a huge impact on how we think about CDA immunity, online extortion, and misusing personal information. But did this case actually change anything in the real world?
Oh, you better believe it did. People v. Bullard wasn't just about setting legal precedents, it started a movement.
Okay, I'm all ears. Tell me how this case rippled out and actually changed the landscape of the internet.
It did. It really did. This case didn't happen in isolation, you know. It was a turning point, a real catalyst for change. For one thing, it really got lawmakers moving. After Bullard's conviction, there was a whole wave of new laws specifically about revenge porn.
So before People v. Bullard, revenge porn was kind of a legal no man's land.
Yeah, pretty much. There weren't many laws that dealt with it directly. Prosecutors had to get creative, you know, using laws about extortion or harassment, which didn't always fit perfectly. But after this case, states started to recognize the specific harms of revenge porn and actually wrote laws to fight it.
That's a big deal. So this case actually helped give victims a way to get justice.
Absolutely. And it wasn't just criminal charges either. We saw changes in civil law too, making it easier for victims to sue whoever posted the content and even the websites that hosted it.
So this wasn't just some theoretical legal argument. It really impacted both victims and the people who did this to them.
Right. And it wasn't just lawmakers who took notice. Websites started changing how they did things, too. After seeing what happened to Bullard, platforms got a lot more careful about hosting explicit content without someone's consent.
So they started taking content moderation more seriously?
For sure. They realized that ignoring revenge porn could get them in big trouble, just like Bullard. And they knew that making money from exploiting people's privacy was a recipe for disaster.
That's definitely a win for internet safety. But let's be realistic. Revenge porn still happens. It didn't just vanish overnight.
No, of course not. The internet is huge and it's always changing.
Yeah.
But People v. Bullard was a turning point. It was like drawing a line. And it showed that the law was starting to catch up to the bad things happening in the digital world.
It sounds like this case was a huge wake-up call for everyone. Lawmakers, website owners, even just regular internet users.
It was. It made us face some uncomfortable truths about online privacy, about exploitation, about how power works in the digital age.
This deep dive has been really eye-opening. It's amazing how one case can have such a big impact, changing laws, technology, even how we act online.
It shows that the legal system can change and respond to new challenges. And it also shows how important it is to hold people accountable, whether they're individuals or big tech companies.
So what's the one big thing you want our listeners to remember from People v. Bullard? What should they take away from all of this?
I think the most important lesson is that the internet isn't someplace without rules. The real world rules apply online too, and what you do has consequences. If you're even thinking about posting explicit pictures of someone without their permission, don't. If you're building a website, really think about the ethics of how you design it. And if you're just online, be careful about what you share and who you trust.
That's great advice. We all need to be more aware and do more to protect ourselves and others in the digital world.
Absolutely. Knowing is half the battle. The more we understand about the legal and ethical side of the internet, the better we can all use it safely and responsibly.
Well said. This has been a fascinating deep dive, really thought-provoking. Thanks so much for being here and sharing your expertise.
It was my pleasure.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this journey into the legal twists and turns of the internet. As always, you can find links to the court documents and other resources in the show notes. Stay curious and stay safe out there.